Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
Let's have a good day. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Why be dragged down by your sports talk morning show, arguing, politics, agendas, nonsense? Laugh and learn with us here on the DA. It's a Trash Tuesday, which means we get to vent in a healthy way. So things that are bugging you, people that are bugging you, the floor is yours. We'll do ours coming up in 40 minutes from now. Your phone number is 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Coming up in 20 minutes from now, we'll talk about what happened in Philadelphia. Should the Eagles be looking to bench Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts? There's some people in Philly, certainly Eagles fans, saying, do it! Do it! But we begin this hour with Doc Rivers, who, despite being by far the most successful head coach in Clippers franchise history, a guy that won a Stanley Cup, won a NBA Finals, not a Stanley Cup. That would show some real abilities, some real versatility if Doc Rivers had also...
That's Doc Rivers' power play look.
If Doc Rivers had also led the Bruins to a Stanley Cup at the same time as winning an NBA Finals with the Celtics, that would be really impressive. But Doc Rivers has won an NBA championship in a previous stint with the Boston Celtics, and by far has been the most successful part of Clippers franchise history. You have to realize Clippers franchise history. Okay, the Clippers begin in San Diego, and nobody's going to games. They draft Bill Walton, and his foot is falling apart. And they move to Los Angeles, and Donald Sterling is a cheapskate and a racist owner who everybody hates with a burning passion. And Elgin Baylor is the GM that makes busted pick after busted pick. And there is almost no sign of life for about 40 years of Clippers basketball, okay? Nothing. Your best moment is Danny Manning and Ron Harper just reaching the playoffs as an 8 seed and quickly getting brushed aside and out of the postseason. So when Doc Rivers takes this job, it's this kind of amazing moment where somebody with credibility wants the Clippers job. The Clippers job? You want to work for that guy? You want to work for the second team in town that before the Staples Center was also playing basically in a dump? You want to work for that guy? And then when you move to the Staples Center, you have no retired jerseys and no championship banners, and you're looking up at all of the championship banners and all of the retired numbers of the Los Angeles Lakers. You are a non-entity in your own town. And Doc Rivers has been through all of that. Doc Rivers has been through the DeAndre Jordan chase with the Dallas Mavericks. Where is he going to sign? Who is he signed with? Who has kidnapped DeAndre Jordan? He has been through the Lob City years with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. Doc Rivers now has been through the transition of power to Steve Ballmer. And Doc Rivers has been part of this next wave of rebranding the Clippers, building their own practice facility, trying to get their own arena, redesigning the jerseys, Ballmer taking over, and them swinging the deal and swinging for the fences of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Doc Rivers has been with this Clippers team since 2013. So we're talking about, what, seven seasons? And before that was the coach of the Celtics for a decade. And before that was the coach of the Orlando Magic. And every single year, for the most part, he's made the playoffs. And I realize that this year's chemistry was not good for the Clippers. And I realize this was an early exit for the Clippers, losing a 3-1 series lead to the Nuggets. And I realize when you're up 3-1 with three chances to close, you got to do so. So I'm not saying Doc Rivers doesn't have some responsibility here. But to shove Doc Rivers to the side and say it's the coach's fault is so delusional. It is so unbelievably delusional. The fact is, this team is inherently broken from a chemistry standpoint, and here's why. You have put all of your eggs in the basket of two guys, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, to have to pick up all of the offensive weight of every playoff game. You've got other good defensive players, Morris, Beverly, etc., but what you don't have is anybody offensively that can pick up the slack besides Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. That's just the way that it's going to be. That's the way that it's always going to be. That's the way that it is on this team, okay? They're a team that can play good defensively. They're good around the perimeter. They were supposed to be a hard-working, tough-nosed outfit that could give teams like the Lakers fits. But ultimately, there are two players that can be the bearers of the weight of the offense, Kawhi and Paul George, which is why you traded all of those draft picks for Paul George, because that's the only way Kawhi was going to come, and you felt like he had to have a running mate in Paul George. The simple fact is, they didn't do enough. Kawhi did more than Paul George, but they didn't do enough. They did not do enough offensively in games 5, 6, or 7 to outdo what the Nuggets were doing offensively, and that was Jamal Murray going off and Nikola Jokic and the rest of the Nuggets. And so for all of the praise that we've heaped on the Clippers defensively, when it mattered, they were unable to slow down a very good offensive team in the Nuggets for three straight games. And so their only hope, if defensively, all of these guys that were built for the defense, all of these guys that were supposed to make life hard on the perimeter for their opponents, if they were not going to slow down the Nuggets for three consecutive games, they had to have big offensive days from Kawhi and Paul George. And guess what happened? They didn't. Playoff Paul was MIA, witness protection program. Playoff Paul was nowhere to be seen, specifically in game number 7, when again in a crucial must-win game, a clinching situation, George was nowhere to be seen. Now you're going to blame that on Doc Rivers. Now, it's Doc Rivers' fault that Paul George was that ineffective when it mattered most, when the offense had to match what the Nuggets were doing. That's on Doc Rivers. The idea that Doc Rivers is at fault here for what happened to the the Clippers, I think, is mistaken. I really do. I think it's a total red herring. It is to throw you off the scent. The scent is this was on Kawhi and Paul George. It has to be. You trade away your entire franchise for those two guys. Kawhi Leonard said, I'm only coming if Paul George is going to be there. And the only way you could get Paul George is to trade away five consecutive draft picks, essentially. Kawhi Leonard had to sign off on that. Okay, Kawhi, we can get you George, but here's the cost. Well, then Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have to play out of their minds when it matters most. And, you know, frankly, if the Clippers get to the Western Conference Finals against the Lakers and lose in six, I think Doc Rivers isn't fired. I don't think this is such a calamity. It's because they blew a 3-1 lead and they blew it against the Nuggets and never even got to the Battle of L.A. So that means Doc Rivers is responsible for one loss or one win, however you want to look at it. That's enough to get him fired, because I don't think if he gets to game six of the Western Conference Finals, he's fired. So he's responsible for one game. And that one game's the difference. And that one game, it's not on Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's utterly ridiculous. Kawhi has an amazing playoff record. He's got an amazing resume. He's going to the Hall of Fame one day. You know, Kawhi Leonard has done a lot of great things in his career that have been very clutch. But he's also part of the team that lost a 3-1 series lead to the Denver Nuggets. And that's going to be on him, and it's going to be on Paul George. Those two guys had to carry them. Ultimately, chemistry was bad, and the guys rolled their eyes at when George tried to be a leader, and they didn't like one another, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you can definitely look at Doc Rivers as a reason why. And maybe on some lark, you hire the new head coach, and he's able to fix that chemistry next year. Well, he better. He better, because I don't think you're getting a better coach. You're just getting a different coach. And maybe different is enough. But I don't think you're getting a better coach than Doc Rivers in Los Angeles. I really don't. I'd like to see who that guy is going to be. Who's the better coach than Doc Rivers that's going to fix what happened there up 3-1? I think this is a mistake. I think you have to look Paul George in the eye and say, where were you? What happened? And you have to look at Kawhi Leonard and say, I know you're not a vocal leader, but what happened down the stretch to allow, you know, this to unfold? And maybe neither one of those guys like Doc Rivers. Maybe. But look, there's a reason Kawhi Leonard worked in San Antonio and worked for 1 year in Toronto. He was surrounded by veterans who, from a chemistry standpoint, could fix things themselves. In San Antonio, it's a machine. It's always been a machine, especially when you still had Tim Duncan there and Manu there and Tony Parker there, which is how Kawhi came up. Everything was set. Kawhi could just be the star. When he gets to Toronto, they've already got veteran guys. Kyle Lowry's been around the block. Serge Ibaka, been around the block. Fred Van Vliet, a grinder, a workhorse. They were surrounded already by veteran pieces that could create the culture and the consistency, and all Kawhi had to do was come in and play his playoff hero. He gets to Los Angeles, and he's got to be part of the culture, and suddenly the culture's not so good. You're going to blame that on Doc Rivers? I mean, I think that that's ridiculous. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. And look, I've taken my shots at Doc Rivers. He's now had three 3-1 series defeats. He led three different series 3-1 and lost them all. That's terrible. He's done it in every spot. Well, he did it in Orlando, then twice in Los Angeles. I mean, that's a disaster. But you're telling me that he was the problem here? Mraz, I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying that Doc Rivers is the reason that the Clippers didn't get farther.
Yeah, and do we forget what Doc Rivers did in that small sliver post-Lob City, pre-Kawhi coming there? I mean, the Clippers last year were an extreme surprise to make them that more attractive, leading the way with Lou Williams for a Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to come there as well. And you bring up a great point. If you're firing him or mutually parting ways with him, that's one thing. The answer is who. You have to have a plan in my mind. I don't think you just get rid of him and say he was the problem. Now let's start this late coaching search on a whim. You have to know the guy you're targeting. And Woj brought up both Ty Lue, who was an assistant on that team, and Jeff Van Gundy. Where, how many times are we going to go down the Jeff Van Gundy well of rumors? Is he going to pull the John Gruden now and come back? To me, I kind of follow that breadcrumb of Woj, and you assume it's one of those two guys. Otherwise, why throw that out there? But if you have no plan on who you are targeting, then this is, I think, a colossal mistake to get rid of Doc Rivers. You have to know what you want.
You know, this is a possible real disaster for the organization, because you could fire Doc Rivers yesterday. You hire who else, whoever you think is going to be better next year. And then Kawhi and Paul George leave after the season, because it didn't end up as in the finals. It didn't go as planned. And long-term, you're worse off for it. You're making a change right now because basically you're on a two-year deal and 1 year's expired. You're making a change right now because you have to get Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to stay and buy in for beyond next year, because they have a player option to leave after next season. But that's not the best long-term plan. Right. So like Ty Lue, is he a more decorated coach than Doc Rivers? Absolutely not. But you're basically making a short-term switch here, which could blow up in your face for as a long-term solution.
Yeah, I agree. And I just don't know, in this day and age of the NBA, it seems like every time a coach gets fired, you assume it's the star players behind it, right? We brought this up with Kenny Atkinson, with the Nets, with Kyrie and Kevin Durant. But we're coming out of a bubble where Doc Rivers seemed to have the respect of not only the Clippers, but of every player across the league, specifically for the way he spoke out in support of the way the Bucks had stepped up and boycotted and everything. Doc Rivers is extremely, extremely supported by NBA players all over the league. So it leads me to think, is Steve Ballmer just the kind of owner that basically thinks he's George Steinbrenner with Billy Martin here and gets very, very, you know, quick on the trigger? And then does that set an expectation where, you know, the Clippers is that, you know, the kind of wild, rich owner that maybe you don't want to play for, don't want to work for, because you always have to worry that your job's in jeopardy?
I think Steve Ballmer has spent so much money, and they're so desperate right now for this moment in time to chase down the Lakers. And the Lakers being in the NBA Finals and the Clippers having gagged away a 3-1 lead has led to an overreaction. I don't doubt that that locker room needed change, and I don't know how they were going to do it. And I understand that you have to harness whatever you can out of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and you've got to get them to stay after next year. But this change feels like it's a move that's too desperate, because it's too big. It creates too much uncertainty. Doc Rivers has overseen 5 of the Clippers' 6 best regular seasons ever. Out of the 6 best regular seasons, Doc's only been there, I think, 7 years. He has 5 of the 6 best regular seasons, and this year was the 4th best record in franchise history. You're going to fire him? I mean, was it really his fault? I mean, come on. When we come back here on the show, in Philadelphia, there's some hard questions about whether Carson Wentz should keep his job. We'll answer the question, should they turn to Jalen Hurts next? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
The DA show is highly intellectual. We're all the way from no IQ to the high IQ. We are cutting edge on this show. Cutting edge.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We definitely have you covered on the no IQ part. The player of the week brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week. How about Patrick Mahomes last night? Tosses 4 touchdowns through the air, 385. Plus a touchdown on the ground as well. That's 5 scores over perhaps the second best team in the AFC. They move to 3-0 with a 34-20 win over the Ravens. The player of the week, sponsored by Grainger. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help. Supplies and solutions for every industry. Safety recovery guides, 24/7 support and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger for the ones who get it done. We had our final episode of Canadian Bacon this morning as the Tampa Bay Lightning hoist Lord Stanley's Cup. Mraz claimed that this was the toughest cup ever to win. We are asking you guys, is that as part of the poll question today? vote at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter, at CBS Sports Radio. Was this year's Stanley Cup the toughest ever to win? Also, a reminder that the DA Show is available in podcast form, and we'll tape the PGP as well, so that you'll have that here this week. And the PGP, the show about the show, also available in podcast form. So go to your favorite podcast platform, search The DA Show. When you find us, subscribe. That'll get brand new episodes automatically delivered to you. And rate and review us if you have the time or you are so inclined. That'll help other people find it. Doug Peterson has a decision to make, and for now he's not going to make the change at quarterback. Doug Peterson says it's not the time to change Carson Wentz. That, quote, you don't go there, even though there are plenty of people in Philadelphia that want to see Jalen Hurts, their second-round draft pick from April, step in under center. After the tie against the Bengals, 23-all, Doug Peterson said, no, you don't go there. That's a knee-jerk reaction. That's a reaction to things that are sometimes, you know, the aura that is out there. That is not what we believe internally, and we are going to continue to get better. Carson's our quarterback. We're going to get it fixed. He's going to get it fixed. And you know, it's a long season. The whole division right now is not playing very good football. We're not out of it. We're not that far off. That's the key here for the Eagles. The Cowboys lead the division at 1-2, tied with Washington. Forget divisions that have a 3-0 team. This division doesn't even have a 2-1 team. The NFC East is an onside botch away from Washington leading the division with a 1-2 record by themselves. The Giants are a dumpster fire. The Eagles are 0-2-1, having tied at home against the Bengals. And the Cowboys needed a miracle to get their only win of the season against the Dan Quinn disaster Falcons. That's the NFC East. And so Doug Peterson's right. They can hold their nose and keep going into Sundays with Carson Wentz as your starting quarterback. And they don't have to worry about chasing down a squad that's going to be 12-4 by the end of the season. It's not going to happen to the NFC East. I agree with Peterson right now. Although I don't think Carson Wentz is going to fix this, I agree you've got to let it ride out a little bit more because you paid him $125 million. You've drafted him number two overall. And once upon a time, not so long ago in 2017, for three quarters of the season, he was the league MVP. He's not that far removed from being a very good quarterback. And you got a lot of money riding on him. You don't know what Jalen Hurts is. I don't know if Jalen Hurts is a really legitimate starting quarterback. He's more of a Kyler Murray than a Carson Wentz. And I'm not sure that anybody but Kyler Murray can be Kyler Murray. And I think that you do need to ride this out a little bit longer with Carson Wentz. My fear is that Wentz is permanently scarred here. That Wentz has put so much pressure on himself, that Wentz has saw all of this celebration around him, seen Nick Foles be elevated to civic hero, seen a statue outside of the building that doesn't include him, that includes Peterson and Foles, and just feels the pressure and is just not able to push his gameplay beyond maybe his mental scar. I just think that right now he's pressing, he's pushing, and he's making all types of mistakes. And I don't think that that's going to go away. And so if you pull the plug on him now, you really run the risk of losing him forever. If you go to Jalen Hurts now, you might never get Wentz back. I think it's that delicate. So I understand not making the move, but I'm worried that it's not going to get fixed, that Wentz does not fix it himself this year. But I think you do have to try to hold the line for just a little bit longer. But I'll tell you, Mraz, that's as close to a loss as a tie is ever going to be. That tie feels like the Eagles are 0-3, doesn't it?
Of course it does, especially because, again, Doug Peterson didn't want to even try a 63-yard field goal. But I understand what he's saying, and I would ride it out with Wentz. And maybe they know Jalen Hurts isn't the quarterback that's ready to step in yet. I mean, I certainly don't think they drafted him expecting him to start a quarterback this year and expecting Wentz to look this bad this early. How about this for an interesting scenario? What happens first? Jalen Hurts starts a game for the Philadelphia Eagles at quarterback, or Doc Rivers is named the 76ers head coach?
I'm taking Doc Rivers to get a job in about 5 minutes.
In Philly?
Well, I think that Doc, or do you say any job or just the
Sixers head coach?
Yeah, I think he takes the Sixers head coaching job in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. And
I think
so before we see Hurts, we see Doc Rivers in Philly. Yeah, either way, these are troubling times. But if you're the Eagles, could this be an 8-8 division winning year still? I think it, or I guess it can't be, a 7-8-1 division winning type year? It could be, D.A. It's on the table if you stick with Wentz and he figures
it's on the table. I don't think the Cowboys will ultimately be that bad. I think the Cowboys are more like 9-7. I don't think they're going to be 7-9 to allow a 7-8-1 team to win the division. But I think that 9-6-1 might win the division, which is probably what Doug Peterson is begging on. Yeah.
Oh.
I know.
I can't see a 9-6-1 winner in there. Oh.
You know, the problem is also that the Eagles have already punted away a chance at one of their four wins over Washington or the Giants. If you're the Eagles or the Cowboys, you might be a mediocre football team, but at the very least, you have four games against those two teams. And the Eagles have already lost to Washington, so now the best they can do is 3-1 against those two.
To me, this week is the season for Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson, specifically because the 49ers are still beat up. They, you know, the Giants did themselves no favors with the Niners being without all these guys. The Eagles can't play the injury excuse or can't play what Doug Peterson's talked about with, you know, Carson Wentz behind the eight ball. This wasn't a right offseason. We've heard all these excuses from Doug Peterson. You're about to play a team that is decimated by injury. Chance Nick Mullins, probably a good chance Nick Mullins plays. And on top of that, it's on Sunday Night Football with the entire country watching you play. And you know that the teeth is going to be out instead of just in Philly, everybody looking to criticize Peterson and Wentz. This is the season. If they go to get embarrassed and it's Nick Mullins starting and they lose this game to the 49ers, it may be really, really, you know, the vultures out for the Eagles time now.
It's funny how Niners-Eagles before the season seemed like a great Sunday night matchup. But right now you're like, blech.
Broncos Jets Thursday night, Eagles 49ers Sunday night.
And then we got to watch the Falcons of Dan Quinn on Monday night.
Oh!
At least we get Aaron Rodgers of the Packers on Monday.
Great week for the NBA Finals.
Now, Andrew Vogish is back. We like to call him AV around here, Andrew Vogish, with your headlines. And I'm going to ask you, Bogues, do you save your wife's name in the phone as a nickname or as her actual name?
Good question. I've gotten a lot of heat. All of my names in my phone are people's full name. It says Kate Bogish when she calls or texts me. She's changed me to hubby in her thing, but I have everybody else is like from my original like Palm Pilot contact list that I just keep moving along with me. So it's all formal in my phone.
I'm with you. My wife's name is my wife's full name in my phone. There is no nickname in there. And I find this interesting because Mraz has unfortunately upset his wife, Danielle, this morning. He has sent us a screenshot of her complaining from Canadian Bacon. 6:46 a.m. this morning, quote, "You need to lower your voice." 6:47 a.m. "You do this every once in a while. Even Taylor gets woken up by your movie phone voice." So apparently Mraz delivering Canadian Bacon was in his movie phone voice, and that has woken up both of the ladies in his life. This is not a good thing.
But press also, 2 if you want to watch Titanic.
But also, we see the screenshot that Mraz has saved Danielle's name as a nickname in his phone. It's Chakalaka.
I believe it's Chachalacha.
You believe. You don't even really know why your wife's nickname is Chakalaka.
It is Chachalacha. And I kind of vaguely remember the origins. I think it has to do with the song La Cucaracha. You know that song?
I do. La Cucaracha, La Cucaracha.
Yeah. I think that, I think that I might have sang it to her like 12 years ago, you know, trying to do something cool. And I think it just became.
That does sound really cool.
That didn't work.
And I think it led to me calling her Cha-Cha-Lacha, La Cha-Cha-Lacha, La Cha. And I just have never updated it. This is a woman now in her 30s with a child, and she's referred to as Cha-Cha-Lacha in my phone, yes.
And what does she have you saved in your in her phone?
Last I checked was P-O-S.
O-S.
Yes. So I, by the way, I don't think I'm kidding. I really.
What is it?
I'm pretty sure for a little while it was P-O-S.
And oh, I was joking.
No. Now I think it's just him. So I'd have him. To check. It depends on her mood with me, but she's very quick on changing all of the stuff. I don't change anything. I just, whatever it comes in at, whenever I put you in, that's what you are as now. That's it. La-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
He's a P-O-S. Now I refer to him as him. So
it's normal to have nicknames, though. Normal.
Danielle feels so strongly about you that she has put you in her phone as him. H-I-M.
Yeah. So that she knows to ignore the call when it comes in and she's disgusted by it. Him. I'm just him. Yeah. You guys with your formal names. Who puts Katie Bogish? No. Wifey, Sweetie Pie, Honey Buns,
Cha-cha-lacha.
Honey Bunches of Notes, Hot Cha-cha-lacha. Have some fun with your marriage, you know?
Have some fun with your marriage.
Oh.
What is this? Bronx beat?
Yeah, here comes his Bronx tail voice.
Here's Mraz with coffee talk. Have some fun with your marriage already, okay?
Coming from a very loving house.
We're going to be welcoming on Jack Kay a little bit later on in the morning. We're going to talk about how to make sure your man is properly taken care of, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
Have some fun with your marriage. You know, do little pet nicknames.
It's cute. I mean, it's not wrong being cute. Spice it up.
Wear something a little spicy around the kitchen for your man. You
I'm
know?
Helping other ladies.
Have fun with your marriage. Call your man La Cucaracha, you know. Just have some fun with your marriage.
That's fun.
You guys are way too formal. Spice it up.
Okay.
Yeah, you spiced it up. She went passive aggressive. She might as well call you like mistake or oops in her phone.
Yeah.
Him. Shouldn't him have
is
done
not complimentary. My bad.
Biggest regret.
Hang on. I got to take a phone call from What Have I Done?
My bad, my friend. I'm sorry.
Why is this my baby's daddy?
Yeah, sorry, Taylor.
Why?
AB has our headlines this morning. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
These ones are sponsored by Geico, who has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. We didn't get the Monday night all-timer we were hoping for, mostly because the Chiefs appear to be way better than the Ravens. Baltimore head coach, John Harbaugh.
We got beat just about every way you can get beat, and we understand that. We have a long way to go to get better.
Harbaugh watched Lamar Jackson throw for just 97 yards and one touchdown.
We just went on point tonight. That's all. Got to get ready for practice and get better.
Jackson called the Chiefs their kryptonite. He's now 0-3 against them, 21-1 against the rest of the NFL. His counterpart, Patrick Mahomes, put up 385 yards, four touchdowns, another one running. His Chiefs led 27-10 at the half in Baltimore. They won 34-20, extending their win streak to 12, including their Super Bowl win. Free agent safety Earl Thomas will work out for the Texans later this week. Other safeties coming in too, but Thomas reportedly likely to sign with Houston if all goes well. Nick Foles is the Bears' new starting QB, and Jets rookie tackle Mekhi Becton could play Thursday night against the Broncos. He hurt his shoulder in Sunday's loss in Indy, but an MRI came back better than expected. The Dallas Stars took Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final last week, but then, as Sean mentioned, couldn't stay out of the penalty box and only won once more. The Lightning took Game 6 last night, 2-0, including Braden Point's power play goal, to win the second cup in team history. Dallas head coach Rick Bonus.
No one expected us to get here, but we believed in ourselves. We were committed to each other. We had team play. We had great camaraderie, great leadership, and we pushed this team as far as it could get.
But it is the Lightning to get the title. Defenseman Victor Hedman won the Conn Smythe Trophy as playoff MVP. That 3-1 collapse against the Nuggets has at least partially cost Doc Rivers his job. The Clippers called it a mutual parting yesterday, but certainly seems like Doc was fired. 7 seasons, 356 wins, but the franchise has still never reached the conference final. This means there'll be 9 new head coaches next season. Doc has already been linked to Philly and New Orleans. Ohio State will have corner Sean Wade and guard Wyatt Davis for the coming season. Both All-America candidates opted out of the season and were prepping for the NFL draft, where they are likely first-round picks. Wade's return was the most in doubt because he hired an agent, but said he never signed any paperwork. We've got playoff baseball later today. The Twins and Astros lead off at 1 Central, then the White Sox and A's in Oakland noon Pacific. Neither team finished all that well. Oakland went just 9-8 after Matt Chapman's season-ending hip injury. Chicago dropped 9-12 after having the best record in the AL in mid-September. The Sox expect to have left fielder Eloy Jimenez in some fashion. He missed their last 3 games with a sprained right foot. Also today, the Rays host the Jays, 5 Eastern. The Yankees play in Cleveland at 7. And early on day 3 at the French Open, American Jen Brady in a battle with Carly Towson. They are now 7-all in their third and final set. 4th-seeded Sofia Kenin just beginning her first-round match. Novak Djokovic among those still to play. La Cucaracha, back to you.
La Cucaracha. Thank you, AB. When we come back, it's Trash Tuesday. We take out the trash next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mraz, lead us off. Who or what are you trashing?
DA, very recently over the last 2 months, I've tried to take up golf. You see, as I head into my mid-30s and I'm a father, I figure maybe that's a nice healthy activity as I get older.
Wow.
I'm not good by any means, but I finally, after many lessons in the driving range and stuff, as my wife's cousin's an excellent golfer, she is teaching me the way, I took to a course this weekend, and I noticed a major issue, because that is a long afternoon walking around a course. Can we get some hot dog vendors walking around here or something? By hole 5, I am starving. Look, I understand you have a couple drinks or whatever. I don't know. Maybe this is a thing in other golf courses and I'm missing the boat. But I think we need a hot dog vendor, a hot pretzel guy. Treat it like you're in the ballpark or something like that. Walking around or coming around on the carts, because I was starving and it totally affected my game. If I'm not eating by hole 5, I lose interest in golf. We need food on the course.
Okay, trash them.
That deserves a trash can emoji.
Did you end up finishing all 18 holes?
Well, even worse, it was a 9-hole course. It was only a par 3, DA.
Wow.
I was not quite ready for Bethpage yet.
So you couldn't make it 9 holes without eating?
No, and because of that,
on a par 3 course, on a pitch and putt.
On a par 3.
I shot a plus 49 as well in the par 3.
So that took you about 5 hours to finish those 9
yes,
holes.
Yes, I'm starving. I'm stuck in a sand trap. I'm just looking for a soubrette. Can somebody make a hot dog out there?
How about a bag of chips from the cart girl running around?
See, that's the thing. I didn't know. Somebody told me there could be cart girls at other courses and stuff like that, where I guess they have chips and beer. But no, we need hot food. I mean, even like some slices of pizza. We need people wheeling out the hot food out there. What are we doing? It's a long day. If I'm more playing 18.
This was my job in high school. I had hot dogs in like a thermos, a cooler, filling hot water. I had candy bars, bags of chips, granola bars, water, beer, Gatorade, soda. But I think on a par 3, they don't go all out for that. Also, too, there might be some COVID issues where maybe they did have one, but it's not safe enough these days to put it back out there.
Tell me, folks, how'd you have steamed hot dogs on the course in a cooler?
had a converted golf cart, like a big, almost like, you know, like a flatbed behind us. And, yep. and one of the parts of the cooler was had hot water in it. So they were just dirty water dogs sitting in like a thermos cooler.
All right.
Can't so imagine they were that health up to that
yeah,
standard.
Yeah, boy,
but
just
there they
sitting
were.
In hot cooler water, huh?
So it's like the M&Ms. It does exist. You can get hot dogs on a golf course. I'm back
oh,
in.
Oh, yeah.
This is a sport for me.
Mm. I don't know. I've never seen that, nor would I ever eat a hot dog out of a lukewarm puddle of water in a thermos.
Oh, DA, I'm desperate. It's a mental game. Your brain needs food.
Yeah. Because it's such a mental game, I advise you never to play again. I would pick up something else here.
How about mini golf?
Yeah, right. All right, AB, who are you trashing?
I believe one of us on this show has already trashed plastic straws, or now the switch to paper straws. I met the ugly cousin of paper straws over the weekend, got a cup of ice cream on the boardwalk in Jersey, and got like a paper spoon, which I'm sure is great for the environment, but the same weird biodegradable substance that you can get sometimes in places instead of a regular straw now. And it was disgusting. It changed the entire taste of the ice cream. When I'm slopping down my Ben and Jerry's, I don't want to taste like what almost sounds like I'm going to get like a splinter in my tongue. So get them all out. The environment can deal with my plastic spoon moving forward.
Trash them.
Illegal dumping.
It's weird that there aren't better alternatives to plastic spoons and plastic straws, because those paper straws stink. I don't understand why they can't make them a little stronger. And
right.
You're right. There is plastic ware. I don't know if you've heard about this, but there's like plastic spoons and forks that are made out of corn. And they feel like plastic. Yeah, they feel just like plastic. They're just a little bit more brittle than plastic. I don't understand how we're not fast-forwarding that, because you're right. We all know that plastic straws are terrible. We all know that plastic ware is terrible. But there isn't really a good alternative. It's bizarre. Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
Well, we talked about standards back in like March or April of on-air talent. So I'm going to go to the play-by-play analyst booth. Throughout the course of, like, I would say the last month or so, I feel like standards have lowered in the broadcast booth. Let's just go from analysts jumping up and down when their team wins to basically cutting off the play-by-play guy, all of that stuff. I mean, we have given up on any type of standard in the broadcast booth, and I just want a play-by-play and an analyst calling the game. I don't want a sports talk conversation in the booth. I want to hear the action. That's it.
That's a dumpster dive.
The action, fellas. Action. If you are watching at watchda.com and you suddenly see sparks fly around me, or maybe you see my desk catch on fire, it's because of my shoddy from China ring light. This is the thing that all of the people on TV are using during quarantine and during working from home. Use them on ESPN, Fox, your local TV affiliate. Everybody's using these ring lights. And what they are they're basically a circle that's about the size of your head or so that's on a little tripod. And that circle lights up and you place it right in front of you. And then the camera goes in the middle of that. And so when pandemic hit and we were doing the show from home to make sure that we had a good feed, I also bought one of these ring lights. And I use this. And let me tell you. Every so often it goes on the fritz like a bug zapper and then just kicks out. You'll see this if you watch. It just kicks out for no reason. I have noticed the reason is it's overheating where it plugs in. It plugs in via USB into a socket, and that connection is enough to burn the skin off of your finger. It is so dangerous. It's shutting down. Thankfully, it's not catching on fire yet. But they expect that to be the next thing around. So I definitely have to buy a different one of these, because the place that I bought it from on Amazon definitely doesn't have a return policy. This place is a cheap, disgusting plastic death trap that is going to set fire to this entire house. You just watch. It's going to be part of your normal Twitch morning at some point at CBS Sports Radio. So trash it.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
You can always hit us up on the tweets on a Trash Tuesday, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. And once again, our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% rather credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what GEICO could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit GEICO.com to learn more. When we come back, we're going to read through your trashes on Twitter. Also, the Bears make a move away from Mitch Trubisky. Will the former number two pick overall ever get that job back? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.